Tuesday night on Broadway, when Phantom of the Opera opens, Martin Levan hopes everything will sound perfect. He wants the music to fill the theater, surround the audience, and sound natural without anyone noticing the state-of-the-art amplification system that he's put in place. Levan is a sound designer who has collaborated with Andrew Lloyd Webber on the musicals Cats, Starlight Express, and now Phantom of the Opera. Levan also engineered the cast recording of Phantom. Theatergoers frequently complain about how false amplification sounds in theaters and how muddy actors and singers sound through the speaker system. I asked Levan what the problem is.
I think a lot of the problems start in just with the essence of what we're trying to do with amplification. If one considers what you're doing, you have a microphone and a loudspeaker with a lot of things in between. If you push sound through a loudspeaker, it's never going to be near where the performer is. So inevitably, the sound comes from another place. And that's the first thing that tends to go wrong in a theatre. People are watching performers on a stage, and they hear the sound coming from the side of the stage or from a wall, from where a speaker's mounted, not from the person singing.
I think another problem is that, you know, here you are, it's not a movie, it's an actual real live performance.
That's right.
And you're hearing actors and they sound like they're coming through a bad record instead of being there live.
That's right. Sound as a medium is a fairly new thing, not only in theatre, obviously, even in studios. And in essence, it's still very primitive. We still use microphones. In a studio, you're able to position those microphones very carefully near someone's mouth when they're singing, or near a musical instrument. In the theatre, you're not usually able to do that.
Because the actors are moving around.
You can't suddenly position great huge looking microphones in the middle of the stage and ask them to stand by them and sing. You have to pick them up as they're moving, as they're puffing and panting and jumping about.
One thing that's hard to figure is how come there's so much amplification now, and for so many years the theater used to get by without it. What's changed? Have singing styles changed, or performance styles, that there's now such a reliance on amplification?
Well, that's a very interesting topic, actually. There's probably a lot of reasons that amplification has become more and more used. What I think happens is that as soon as you invent a way of giving a director or some creator of a show some new assistance to his art, in other words, if I can explain, maybe someone can sing looking upstage instead of looking at the audience. As soon as you give them that opportunity, then they will start to develop more and more ideas of moving the people around on the stage. And they start. The more you start to depend on technology, the more and more you do of that. And in the end, you end up really having to work very hard to just achieve something that could have been done many years ago by lining them up on the front of the stage, sound-wise.
So what is the job of the sound designer? What are you called in to do?
Okay, well, I think it can really be broken down into probably two main areas. First of all, the originator and the director of a show has a concept for that show. And the sound designer, in one part, has to provide the medium to allow the director's work to, you know, be shown to the audience. The other side of the sound designer's work is actually a creative side, is part of creating an acoustic environment for people to listen to the show in. And it's not purely a case of getting the lyrics across to the audience. Sound, being quite an invisible medium sometimes, can be very, very powerful. And you can do certain tricks with sound that the audience aren't aware of, they don't notice happening, but does affect their enjoyment tremendously of the show.
Is there an example of a trick like that that you could give?
Well, it's very, very difficult to pick up a simple example. To be very, very basic, certain volumes of sound, certain echoes of sound, can dramatically change the mood of the listener.
Now, you've already worked on the British production of Phantom of the Opera. The Broadway production is about to open. What were some of the special challenges that Phantom of the Opera presented to you?
Okay, Phantom of the Opera is probably one of the hardest type of shows for a sound designer to work on. The amplification on the show needs to be very natural sounding. We had a very small theatre in London where we did the show, which was quite tricky, but not too hard to achieve that sort of result. when we came to Broadway, we're in a much, much bigger house here. So to fill the house with sound, we needed to provide rather more amplification. And of course, as soon as you start to try and do that, you can start to take away from the concept of the natural sound, you know, hearing the performer and the sound coming from the performer. But we actually stuck with the same basic system as we used in London, and it worked very well here for us.
Could you describe what that system is? I guess in in terms that those of us who aren't engineers would understand.
Probably the best way to describe it is that it's a system of hundreds of components. There's thousands of speakers all over the theatre, all doing very small functions. So rather than having a left channel and a right channel of a stereo speaker system, you have a lot of speakers, each with a small job to do. But the combined effect is a very large system.
Well, let me ask you this. You said earlier that one of the problems that you face in a theatre is that you don't want people's voices to sound as if they're coming from speakers on the side wall.
That's right.
As opposed to coming out of the actors who are,
that's
who
right.
are performing. So if you have hundreds of little speakers or thousands all over the theatre, how do you get around that? How do you make it so that it doesn't sound like it's coming from these speakers?
Okay. One thing we do by using lots of speakers, it stops us, you know, using any one speaker very loud. So that actually gives us a good starting point. Another way we achieve this is by using delay techniques. And this is a system whereby the sound from the performer is picked up by a microphone and is processed through the sound desk and through the amplifiers. And in the processing, the sound is delayed, so that as the sound from the stage would naturally reach the member of the audience, the sound coming from the speaker is synchronized so that it also reaches the audience at the same time, and the attention isn't drawn to it that way. If you do not delay the sound, then the sound comes from the speaker early to the audience because the speaker inevitably is nearer the audience.
Are you using those wireless microphones?
We're using quite a lot of wireless microphones, yes. We use about 20 wireless microphones on Phantom.
How do they work? You know, you're used to seeing wires coming out of them, and now there's wireless ones.
Now there's wireless, yes. Well, they're very clever things. They work in the same way as your broadcasts reach your audience around the country. It's a very, very tiny transmitter, about the size, a little smaller than a cigarette packet. The performer wears that somewhere on their body, usually on their back or in their pocket or something. And we have a very, very tiny microphone that plugs into that, and that's wired into the transmitter, and we transmit and we receive.
Now, since you're operating with receivers, do you ever accidentally pick up radio station signals?
Well, yes, that can happen as well. I mean, we get better and better at that over the years. When radio mics were first used, taxi cabs, all sorts of other signals used to interfere.
Has that ever happened to you in the middle of a real production?
Well, yes, there's one story from London, which well, rather unfortunate story. When we opened Starlight Express, there was an outside broadcast van from a certain radio station that was in the vicinity that just happened to blot out half of our radio mics, and we had a bit of a nightmare performance that night. And it can still happen. Frequencies, the allocation of radio mic frequencies, which is the critical area, is still really being developed, as it's quite a new art, quite a new thing for the theatre to use so many radio frequencies. And until specific frequencies are allocated, there's always a chance of, you know, bumping into someone that's sharing your frequencies. And it's not nice when it happens, but touch wood, it hasn't happened yet to Phantom over here.
Phantom of the Opera has been in previews. The curtain is about to go up for opening night. What will you be doing on opening night?
I won't be sitting in the audience. I'll be standing at the back. I'll probably be pacing up and down, praying that the technical stuff holds together. I'll obviously be, you know, hoping the audience has a great time. I just hope for a smooth, clean show.
Well, Martin, I wish you good luck on opening night.
All right, thank you very much.
Martin Levan is the sound designer for the new Broadway musical, Phantom of the Opera. This is Fresh Air.